My name is Julie, I'm an addict. Really good to be here, and I just wanted to check in with my feelings first. So I feel quite vulnerable. This is probably the biggest share I've actually ever done for a long time. The last time I did a chair here, I was about 5 years clean, and I remember how nervous I was then. So I can feel the change. You know, I have changed, and I'm not the same person I was when I first came to NA. So the person you're looking at is a very different person to what I was over 15 years ago. So this program does work. So what I just wanted to say as well, I've just had this epiphany. It's not even an epiphany. It just feels like I've just had this injection of recovery. You know, my daughter's been on holiday for the last 3.5 weeks. So I've spent a lot of my time. I decided this holiday I was going to spend it in London and just do loads of meetings. I live in London, but I haven't had the ability to go to meetings like every day like I have been doing for the last 3.5 weeks. So I've done 2 meetings every day for the last 3.5 weeks. And the difference in, I feel connected to recovery. I feel passionate about NA. I just feel that this program's given me the ability to, again, to like reach out, to be there for other people, and, you know, to freely give this program away to other people. Anyway, what I wanted to touch on as well is, I mean, if anyone's aware of Just For Today, there's a book that we read every day. Well, I've been reading every day for the last 3.5 weeks properly, and I hadn't been doing that before. And I just was reflecting before I got here today about the readings and how they've kind of really played a massive part in my week this week. I mean, if anyone remembers, Monday's reading was about death, and I was in a meeting, and it only suddenly occurred to me, one of the readings, it says about we were slowly committing suicide, and then it really touched me, and then I actually started crying. I got in touch with a lot of sadness and realizing that that's actually what I've been doing my whole life. And every time I did have a use up and I woke up the next day, I actually thought, flipping hell, I'm alive. And then I had to go and do that stuff again. And I'd done that for years. And and that was about facing death in, you know, people, if we face death in recovery. I've lost my mum in recovery. And I always remember there was a little bit of a reservation when I first came to NA. I thought, if anyone dies in my family, I'm definitely going to have a use up, because that's what people do. You go out and you have a drink. And then in my first 30 days, a woman came to a meeting and she just lost her mum, and I saw her crying and I thought, my God, and she's still in the rooms. And it made me realise that you can get through this. You can get through this without using. And my mum, 6.5 years ago, she passed away, and I came to meetings, and one of my wonderful friends here allowed me to go to meetings and just share my truth, share that pain, because, you know, the usual thing that what I probably would do is just stay at home and isolate. So this program's allowed me to, like, I've got somewhere where I can go, I've got somewhere where I can, like, share. And it was only when I was walking down here, it just suddenly dawned on me about how the program really works. Because for people who don't think it does, just think about it this way. This is how I've just kind of, it's kind of made me realize, wow, look at the readings. Just look at the readings, listen to the readings, the steps and the traditions. They always stay the same. You know, people come and go, but the readings, everything is still the same. So something works here. Something actually works here. And it's because we show up, we share. This is what we learn. This is what I'm learning now. It's about sharing our truth, sharing our feelings. You know, and I ran away from feelings for years. I ran away from my feelings. If anyone asked me how I felt, I'd go, I'm fine. And I remember in early days when I first started coming to NA, and I was mad about this guy called Mickey B. I don't know whether you know him, but he had all these sayings about what fine meant. And every time somebody would say to me what fine meant, and then I heard fine means feeling insecure and neurotic and emotional. So I stopped saying it because I thought, oh my God, am I neurotic and emotional? So, and I just learned this language of, you know, to be able to connect with really how I'm actually really feeling. Some days I feel great, some days I feel very vulnerable, some days I actually feel bloody lonely, you know, and that's something that I constantly feel sometimes on a regular basis, regardless of whether you're 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, loneliness does kick in, but I realise I don't need to be on my own. I've got a place where I can come, and that's been NA, and it's really helped me in the last 3.5 weeks to kind of boost that recovery. And that, like I was saying about the first reading was about, this week was about facing death, and I really related to it. And then the second day was about, friendships. And then that really hit me as well, with the friendships in recovery. I remember coming here, and it says about the personal recovery depends on NA unity. And I remember this was a massive meeting for me in early days. You know, there was massive unity here at the end of the meeting. We all used to go for fellowship, and I was working at the time. Still am working, but I was working, and I'd go to the gym, I'd go dress up, come down here, hear the meeting, do fellowship, and then go for something to eat. And it was amazing. It was like that family, you know, like, and we'd all be sitting around talking about recovery, you know, and it'd be like newcomers there as well, people who are only like a day clean, you know. It was really, really important to see like newcomers just trying to get this, because, you know, tradition, the only desire for membership is a desire to stop using, and that willingness is so important. Willingness is such an important tool for anyone who wants to get this. And, you know, I'm really passionate. It's more passionate than I usually am, you know, believe it or not. And I just got to say that, you know, I didn't rehearse this. Usually I kind of sit at home and think, right, what am I going to say and what am I going to do? But because recovery's in me at the moment, you know, I'm doing lots of meetings, I'm helping newcomers, I do step work, I look at some of my step work, try and do one of the questions, all that sort of stuff, it just kicks in. And I feel free. I do feel free. You know, there's some days I don't feel free, but I do, like, I feel like I've got that freedom from addiction today. Oh gosh, my mind's gone now. Mine's gone. I'm just really, really grateful at the moment. Sorry, I keep on coming in and out of this because I was always conscious about what my voice was going to sound like. And the last one I ever did, I just felt like I kept on saying certain words, and it drove me crazy. Anyway, gosh, you know, when I actually think about how this program works, it is quite simple. It is quite simple. I've realised more so now, if I just turn up, if I just do the things that I'm supposed to do, it just works instantly. You know, and as a result of staying around now, I've been able to like do the steps, help other people. My life isn't as unmanageable as it was when I first came in. And you know, just as well in the reading, it does say, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, and our lives were unmanageable. And I'm telling you, my life was totally unmanageable. And even though when I came in, I was still quite, there was a lot of denial, massive denial. And one of the readings, I think, I was in a meeting the other day. I've done so many now, I'm even like confusing myself of what day said this and blah, blah. But anyway, self-acceptance was one of the readings today, but my addiction was, I was in so much denial that I didn't even think that I really even had a problem, you know. And I've had to learn to accept that, you know, I did have a problem, but as a result of coming here, I think I've done more so accepting now that I am an addict. You know, I did all that stuff, addictive personality, you know, people knew me, it says a few people in here knew me in my using. And I was a nutter, you know, And, you know, when I came in, I think like a lot of people say, they come in here and they just think they're going to come in here and just sort out their problem and go out and use, go back out there and just say, look, I'm clean now, and go back and have this life again. And that's what I thought. But I'm glad I so stayed around, you know. I heard a lot of honesty in these rooms, because I come from that place a lot of people share about dishonesty. I was a chronic liar. I lied, I stole, I seeked attention. I had two brothers. I always felt like I was the one that was always left out. I was always wanting to be somewhere else. And, you know, don't get me wrong, there was a part of my life that I did feel like I was happy, but I was always craving something, you know. I come from that generation of punks and skinheads, and I used to be a mod, and, you know, and I did all of that, and, you know, sniffing glue, and, you know, all that stuff and bunking off school, and I just had a chaotic lifestyle, you know. And my parents split up when I was really young, and I lived with my dad, and my dad promised me the world, and you know, and he was constantly always letting me down, and I was always seeking approval from other people, and I was seeking approval from men. I was always trying to seek, and I never found anything. So as a consequence of that, I was always very disappointed. And also when drugs came along, they gave me that ease and comfort that he talks about. I felt great, I felt wonderful. I remember telling everyone, oh, you gotta try this drug, it makes you feel great. And I took people hostage and I'd take them out for days. And you know, I did all that 3-day binges, and I was always, always unreliable, totally irresponsible. I never used to turn up for work. I was never present for family stuff. I just didn't take life serious. And you know, they say the thing about addiction doesn't discriminate age, race, sexual identity. And when I came in, I felt like I was old, you know, when I came in. And for the age I was, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter about age or where you've come from, what your connections are, what you've done in the past. You know, it's all that stuff. The readings always make some, whenever I'm even in doubt about this program, I can always connect with what it says in the readings. They always make sense. I can always relate to it. If I'm struggling around thinking, am I an addict? I'll always pick up my basic text and read who is an addict. Always, always when in doubt, because I can always rely on that. That will just show me that I can't use like what most people can. I'll just do everything that I say I'm not going to do. You know, I'm very aware that that's what I'm like. And for years and years, you know, when I used to come to NA, I constantly used to think, oh, I don't fit in here, I don't fit in there. And I feel part of NA. I do NA. You know, I'm really a believer that NA really works. And I see it. I've seen people here who have been at their first meeting, second meeting. I've seen people who are here now who are over 5 years, 6 years, you know, and it's great. But, you know, it only works if you work it, as it says in the readings. And I think the one thing for me, it has always, always started from just sharing my truth, sharing my feelings, reaching out. I really, really firmly believe that the honesty is like the best policy, because I remember actually admitting in one of my first ever meetings, I don't know how to be honest. I literally remember asking someone, so, you know, I don't know how to be honest. And they actually turned around to me and said, well, you're just doing it now. And I thought, wow, is that it? Is that what I need to do? And that's where it's really started for me. And, you know, and I don't take it lightly. This, you know, this does kill. This program is amazing, and I'm seeing the benefits more so now. I just hope that I can keep continuing to go to lots of meetings, you know, because I keep on using those excuses. I'm pretty sure a lot of you have always used, you've got those excuses to use, you know, and I've used excuses not to come to meetings. There's always something, my daughter's got this, blah, 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 blah. But I realise this has to come first, regardless of whether I'm, you know, a year clean, 15 years clean, recovery still has to come first. And since I've been doing lots of meetings, I'm really, really stoked to see so many people doing every meeting I go to, I've seen at least 3 or 4 people still doing the same meetings I'm doing. So it just goes to show you, you know, like meetings do keep you clean. Service keeps you clean too. So, and that's one thing I'm trying to work on right now is I have a home group, but I don't have a service commitment. And I'm realizing I need to get a service commitment. I really, really need to do that. Anyway, I've been around a while. I've been nuts at times. I haven't really put in the footwork. But as a result, my life was quite unmanageable then, but I can start to see that my life is starting to become very manageable. That I know the areas where I need to work on. You know, I have a sponsor, I work the steps. I'm very aware that I'm powerless over my addiction and I'm powerless over people, because I'm terrible about doing other people's thinking for them, constantly always worrying about what other people say about me or think about me. I'm constantly always worrying about, I've always been a worry about what people think and say about me. But I realise if I kind of let go and just say I'm powerless over that, it actually does work. And also that whole thing about surrendering as well. You know, I've done a few surrenders in recovery, you know, and I've done one over the phone with my sponsor when I was completely nuts, over 10 years clean, hadn't spoken to her for ages. Everything was it felt like everything was falling all out of place. You know, I just wasn't doing meetings. I had no patience, no tolerance. You know, financial stuff was going out the window. I just wasn't having any personal relationships with people. I was very disappointed. I was quite angry and bitter. And then I had to surrender. I had to admit that I need to ask for help again. And that's what I've done for the last couple of years now. I've kind of resurrendered to the program. And life changes. You know, little things start to change. You start working the steps again. You start reaching out. You realize that, you know, yes, you know, it's not all about me. Step two stuff, you know, Dominic's touched on his step one and two. That's what I kind of got out of the powerless and unmanageable. And not really, you know, you need to have, I'm totally aware that my life was insane. So, you know, today I feel like I have been restored to sanity, and I do that on a daily basis. I still pray every day. I pray in the evening. Another thing my sponsor suggested to me in the last couple of weeks, which has worked amazing, I've been sharing, I've been speaking to my sponsor aloud, you know, where I've got the place for myself. I've just been like talking, I've been asking for guidance. You know, I need that, you know, because it really does work. I've noticed more so now that, you know, I don't know, sometimes my will is not always the right will. So if I ask for God's will, it makes a massive difference. And God, I do have a God in my life, and I've had to rely on a God in my life, because my self-will, I know where it takes me. I know where it takes me. So having God in my life is amazing. High power, whatever you want to call it, but I do have a God in my life today. And as a result of that, I have goodwill. I want to help people. If I can be there for someone, if I can reach out to someone and not expect anything in return. You know, because I come from that place years and years ago in my using. If I did something for you, I want something in return. So I'm very aware that this program is a selfless program as well. Anyway, you know, somebody was sharing the other day about step four. I've done a couple of step fours. You know, the steps work. And I was one of those. I sat in pain for years on step four. And I've done a step four, and I've seen the benefits of it. Step five, is an amazing process. Very, very scary, but it works. You know, having that somebody, a sponsor, if anyone hasn't got a sponsor, please find yourself a sponsor. Someone you respect, someone you admire, you know, someone you can trust. You know, and I think that's another thing for me as well. Trust is so important. You know, that was another thing that came up in the reading today, was about trust. Trusting God. I'm really aware that, you know, I've started to really trust myself in this process, because I never trusted. You know, I think it's a massive, massive tool to have in this program, to be able to trust in this program. It does work. You know, I've seen it work. Step sticks, you know, I've often heard people say about, oh, they're those, separates the men for the boys, or it's the forgotten steps. And, you know, and I've done six and seven, and the other day I was in a meeting, and we were talking about defects of character, and I realised from some defects came up in the week, and that I had a little mini resentment, and it's been there for a while, and I hadn't noticed until it came up in the reading around friendship. And I haven't seen my friends for a while, and I'm doing this mind thing at the moment, because they're not calling me. I'm thinking, how dare me? My ego's come up, and I'm thinking, you know, and my pride, all this stuff I've learned in recovery, you know, because I came from a place before recovery of being very egotistical, massive ego, but low self-esteem. So I've kind of built on that today. I'm very aware when I'm in my ego. And I think that's probably one thing I've done. I've constantly kept on doing the serenity prayer to invite a loving higher power into my share, and not to be in my ego and tell you, yeah, I've got this and I've got that. But it's not about that. It's about being there for reaching out to the newcomer, giving them a bit of hope, you know. And if you've got a desire to stay clean, that, you know, you will. Just keep coming to meetings. You know, that's how it worked for me. You know, it's very simple. Just keep coming, keep sharing, keep listening. and you know, and that hope will come. And you know, hope is really the massive one of the symbol. It's around hope. And I think that's probably what, that's really what I'm realizing now, that, you know, I know I've gone through that change because I had fear. Everything I used to do was always fear-based, but nowadays I kind of always think, well, maybe, you know, faith, you know, I'm constantly always saying faith now. I do believe that whatever happens, I'm carried, and most things are. You know, I struggle with certain things, but I know if I have faith, it will be okay. You know, it's told me, you know, I've seen it happen. Whatever goes on in my life, as long as I'm carried, I'll be fine. Oh gosh, how long have I got?
15 minutes.
Gosh.
To say hope.
Anyway, a lot of you know, a few of you have seen me around in meetings, you know, and I've just got used to doing meetings at the moment because, regardless of being around a long time, I just haven't been able to get to as many meetings as I have done in the last 3.5 weeks. So, you know, just seeing a lot of people in meetings has given me the hope that this program does blinking work, you know, and the willingness that I've noticed. I've been very willing. I wake up in the morning, I don't go, oh, guys, I don't want to go to a meeting. I just wake up, I put my shoes on, I get ready, and I go to a meeting. It just happens just like that. So, you know, the miracle of this program is that it does work. Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is probably the biggest meeting I've ever shared in for a long time, and I hope I won't have to do another one of these for another 10 years. So, in some ways, I'm really glad I've done this today. Keep phrasing. Anyway, it's really weird how, you know, because I realise I'm coming from me. This is me. This is me without my makeup. Regardless of, I do have makeup on today. So, yeah, it does actually make you realise how, you know, even though regardless how long you're around, I still can be very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I still can feel very, oh gosh, they're all looking at me, they're all thinking I'm mad, what am I saying, do I need to please you, but this is me. I'm just looking forward to, you know, being able to instill more of this recovery. Decision-making was something that came up in one of the readings today or yesterday, that I've decided I need to start doing at least 3 to 4 meetings a week without any excuses this time. So regardless of whether my daughter's got her swimming, she's got this, she's got that, I need to put my recovery first as well. One of them's definitely needs to find a home group. The second one is to fit more time in to be there, be of service. And, you know, and I've got the willingness, you know, I've noticed recently how willingness has played a massive part. And it's not with me just like, it's just happened naturally. It's just happened. It's just flowing out. You know, this program's given me so much. And I mean, a few of you know me in here that, you know, I had a daughter in recovery. I've changed my my career in recovery. I have new friends in recovery. I don't really have, you know, it says in there, people who are not using who have found a new way of life. In the Just For Today, I don't have many friends at the moment who are not using. Most of my friends are in recovery. I struggle when I'm around people who are not using, who are using. You know, I could bear them for a couple of hours and then that's it, you know. You know, I work in a really healthy environment. I work with children. I have 2 brothers who are at loggerheads over money, and I'm in the middle, and because I work a program, I'm trying to show love and be compassionate and not to judge. It's really, really difficult, family dynamics in recovery, because I've learned that the only thing I need to do is keep showing up. I'm not in a relationship for now, and I feel great, you know, for now, which is, don't think I'm ready for a relationship at the moment. I just don't have any. I'm just more happy like working on myself, you know, and being where I am right now. I think I've still got areas of where I need to work on. So that's work in progress. Yeah, you know, all the stuff around addictions, and you know, I relate to a lot of what people share in here, their struggles, you know, whether it's around friendships, relationships, money issues. You know, that's another thing for me right now. I've realised that it's something, another area of my life. Food is an issue, but I realise that NA just covers all of that. You know, I've tried to go to other meetings, but I feel for me, NA just, it's tailored for, it suits everyone. Gosh. Yeah, it's really good to be here, and you know, there's people here who know me, and I just hope that, you know, I continue my journey, because recovery has made a massive difference in my life. Like I said, the person I was when I first came in, I'm not that person today. I don't steal, I don't lie. I maybe tell the small white lie, as in, oh, I've done 50 press-ups a day when I haven't done any weight. You know, those tiny things. But, you know, I try to be kind to myself. Yeah, this program's allowed me to kind of like love myself a little bit more. Because I never gave myself any love. I never told myself I was good. You know, my dad always, you know, it's that stuff. And just recently, I've been kind of like looking at my how my father was, and how I kind of put him up on a pedestal. He was never around. I had a father who was unemotionally around. He was an alcoholic, and he promised me the world. You know, and as a child, when you hear all that stuff, you really believe it. And that's why I'm very, very careful. I mean, even though with my daughter now, you know, I'm trying to give her the best life, because I felt like I didn't. My mum and my dad, they did their best, and I felt at times that, yeah, maybe it's because if I had the perfect parent, then maybe I wouldn't be the person I am. But you know, I can't blame them. They did the best they could. You know, my mum was physically, she was always there in my life, you know, and my mum passed away in recovery. My dad died in my using, and the difference in when my dad died, when I was using anyway, you know, I remember when I went out to my dad, half Nigerian, went out to Nigeria and we buried him, and I couldn't wait to get back to use. And then on the other side of that, when my mum passed away in recovery, I went to a meeting, I stayed clean. And that's the difference in, you know, I've realised it is about being present for whatever goes on in your life. Just show up. You know, it's so simple. You do, you hear it said all the time, whatever goes on in your life, just show up. You know, it's those cliches. It does work if you work it. You know, I've listened to differences in the past years, but I realise it's about listening to the similarities in the chair. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. But the one common thing that we do have in common is we're in addiction, our addiction and recovery. And that's two things, addiction and recovery. And I realise as well that I'm very, very responsible for my recovery today. So whatever goes on in my life, I have to be responsible. Anyway, thanks.
You can get it if you want.
I'm going to end it now. Thanks for the share.